With that, I'm going to actually go on with the message I started a couple weeks ago, talking about our money and understanding that as individuals, our money matters. Sometimes, you know, we think that we don't have very much or we're not very significant. I know a lot of people, you know, don't vote in national elections because they don't think that their vote matters, and that's not true. What we do as individuals matters greatly in the grand scheme of everything. Something's going on over there. Okay. Anyway, but everything that you and I do really affects even over, you know, who we are as a family. You know, what I do as a father and as a husband affects my family. What I do as a in my vocation affects, you know, a number of people. Whether I prayerfully put together messages, whether I'm just kind of taking them off someplace else, and all those kind of things. What we do matters. How I handle my money matters. How you handle your money matters. If you don't have enough money, it matters, doesn't it? You know, it affects what you're wanting to do or what you're able to do. If you've not handled your money properly in the past or if you're currently not handling it properly, it matters. It affects what's going on. If you have an abundance of money and are doing great things with it, it matters. And we have to understand that. Go to 3 John, and we're going to look at verse 2. I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard Version first, and then I'll read it out of the Message Bible. And this is John talking to a group of people, and he says, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects that you may prosper and be in good health just as your souls prosper." And there is so much stuff in that one verse that we could spend, you know, weeks, you know, dissecting each part of that. But in the Message Bible, it says, "We're the best of friends, and I pray for good fortune in everything that you do, and for your good health, and that your everyday affairs prosper as well as your soul." So we have to understand that God does want us to prosper. He wants us, you know, He wants our prosperity. He desires for us to be prosperous. He wants our good fortune. He wants our everyday affairs to prosper as our souls are prospering. You know, and that's, a lot of times I believe that's probably, you know, maybe the issue in our lives is that our souls are not prospering. You know, we don't know any more about how our body functions today than what we did 10 years ago because we're not prospering in the knowledge of how we're put together and how things, you know, how things function. Matter of fact, the last couple of years have been, you know, a huge, revelation to me in that particular area. I've learned more probably in the last 3 years about how my body functions and all the different aspects of it than what I probably did for the 47 years prior to that. And it's sad because I had to, because if I didn't do that, it could actually affect my longevity. You know, if I did not learn, and there are a lot of people that have the same, you know, physical issues that I'm dealing with, and they're not doing anything to prosper. And what's happening is that, you know, they're losing their health because their souls aren't prospering, so they know how to take better care of themselves. The word poverty in the dictionary means the state of being extremely poor. It also means the state of being inferior in quality or insufficient in amount. That's the word poverty. God doesn't want us to be in poverty on anything. He doesn't want our health to be in poverty. He doesn't want our spirit to be in poverty. And He doesn't want our soul or our mind, will, and emotions to be in poverty. You know, can you imagine not knowing, having access to information like we do today? You know, it's amazing. I have, you know, the places where I've learned about how to take care of my body is on Google. You know, matter of fact, you know, this thing that we're working through right now, I actually Googled my symptoms and found out what my issue was and told my doctor. And it was really interesting. He did a series of blood tests and said, "That's not your issue." And I said, "Oh, yes, it is. These are the symptoms that I'm dealing with. I'm not a hypochondriac. I'm not looking to be on medication. I'm not, you know, just kind of complaining to complain. These are the symptoms." And so he sent me to a specialist who confirmed what I was saying. I knew before my doctor knew what was wrong with me, but all I did was go onto Google and access this plethora of knowledge that, you know, on what was going on with me, because it was important to me to prosper in my health. The word prosper means to succeed in material terms, to be financially successful, to flourish physically, to grow strong and healthy. And then in the archaic definition, it means to be successful. that God wants us successful in every area of our life, in our relationships, that we should be constantly studying people. Why do we, you know, a couple months ago we put onto Facebook, a test. It was the Myers and Briggs test. Why is that important? It isn't just important for me to know me, it's also important for me to know you. Because if I know you and how you are put together and how you function, that helps me in being able to relate with you in a way that will prosper our relationship. You know, I think one of the things that the church hasn't really been good at is working on some of those different personality types, you know, whether it's an introvert or an extrovert. We think that, you know, what happens most of the time is you have churches that are led by extroverts mostly, and all the ministry leaders are extroverts because they're the ones that are more outgoing, they're the people, they're more vocal. You know, many times that can be dangerous to be more vocal because, like Bonnie said, what you can do is you get on Facebook and you post something before you thought about what you should be posting. And that's generally what an extrovert will do, is they will speak before they think. Whereas an introvert is thinking before he speaks, but generally everybody is two steps away from him before he speaks because he took too long. But if you don't know that about those different personality types, if you don't study those kind of things, then you can't prosper in the area of relationships. You know, it's the same thing with our money. If we don't learn about handling money and the different things to do with money and how to do different things with it, we're not going to be able to prosper, and we're going to be very limited on what we are able to do. And a lot of this, you know, these scriptures I'm going to share with you today, you know, what we have to learn is that we need to feed our minds or our inner man and reprogram ourselves many times so with truth and also, like Bonnie was talking about, with encouraging words, so that our hearts and our minds will start to prosper. And then what happens is that because we're prospering on the inside, it begins, there begins an external prosperity that comes. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. It says, let your character, there's something we don't deal with much in life today is character. Let your character or moral disposition be free of the love of money. And the Amplified in parentheses, it says, including greed, lust, craving for earthly possessions. You know how timely this message is? We're getting ready to head into the Christmas season. Christmas can be one of the greediest times of the year that there is. And we're supposed to be, you know, everybody puts up the banners, or they put it on their mailboxes, put it, you know, on their car, that Jesus is the reason for the season. And really, at the end of the day, more often than not, he really isn't. He gets a cursory thank you or maybe a birthday cake or something like that. But hundreds and thousands of dollars are spent on gifts to other people. And many times what will happen is families will put themselves into debt just to give away presence to, you know, and feed that greed and I'm not saying those things are bad. We're supposed to be giving and all that kind of stuff, but we can go over the line really easy, especially if we can't listen to somebody telling us that we're over the line. Because many times what happens is we can get into deception, and because there's nobody speaking to our lives, we're off in deception and don't even know that we're there. And when somebody says something to us, we get all offended to them. And you know why we get offended? Because we're immature. Immaturity will keep you in a place keep you in a place of not be able to prosper. Sometimes my mouth gets ahead of my mind. Anyway, look what else it goes on and says, and be satisfied. Everybody's mad at me now because I'm messing up Christmas, aren't you? That's what the issue was. I was feeling something. I couldn't get that word out. Now I know. Y'all mad at me because I'm messing up your Christmas. Enjoy Christmas, give presents, just be mindful of the fact that you can get into the place where it's all about possessions and more stuff and you get yourself in financial trouble and all that kind of stuff. And it really doesn't need to be that way because it takes away from the whole point of the season. Anyway, he says, be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Why would he put that on the end of that? Because many times we're hoarding things and gathering things because we're looking to support ourselves and not letting ourselves be at a place of desperation or vulnerability and allowing God to provide. Matter of fact, I was having a conversation with Dan beforehand, and we were talking about, you know, I sent out an email to some people to pray about some of the things that are going on with me. And he said, you know, he had gone through a situation 10 or 15 years ago, and he asked God, he's like, you know, what's the deal here? And God said, will you trust me for today? And he thought about the scripture that said, give us this day our daily bread. And then another scripture that says that healing is the children's bread. He said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you for my healing today. And then tomorrow, we'll get to the place of tomorrow. So many times, we get so wrapped up in you know, well, what happens? What if? You know, we become hoarders. We become, you know, people that should be on some reality TV program and all this other stuff. Because we're really not trusting God, we're trusting possessions. Because we think that in possessions is our contentment. And really, our contentment is supposed to be in the Holy Spirit. He goes on and he says, I will not leave you without support. He said, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor leave you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. I will not. You know, when something is said three times, he's really wanting you to get it. He will not leave us in any degree of helplessness or forsake us, nor let us down. You know, this is probably a scripture we could wake up every morning and read and then read it throughout the day several times until we really get it inside of our spirit. Because so many times we believe God is failing us or he's not going to quite be enough. You know, when all else fails, you know, try God. That's the wrong attitude for us to have. You know, we should be in God no matter what else goes on. So, you know, but anyway, at the beginning of that passage, it says, let your character or moral disposition be free of the love of money. Money is a character issue. It's a moral issue. And that's where we need ministry many times. It's not a spiritually. Most of the church is extremely spiritual. They're just not very, they just don't have very much depth of character or morality. And that's a shame. We should be the ones that are working to build character and working to be moral more than anybody else. We should be a moral people. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 says this. He says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up. See, God wants, it's his good pleasure to give us everything in his kingdom. But many times he can't trust us with it because we're immature. Maturity is an issue when it comes to money. Many times we're in the financial situation that we are because of our handling of money in an immature manner. I've watched people that were extremely mature with money do more with a little than people who had a lot could do. You know what the difference was? It was character and maturity. They didn't have this need to have all the latest gadgets and appliances and the biggest TV. I mean, you can get a TV now that's like, what, 80 inches? Isn't that like the biggest TV that's available? 90? I mean, who needs a 90? I remember when like 23 was huge, man. What? Yeah, I'm messing up all the guys' man cave too now. Sorry. But the handling of our money, and like I said, those things are not bad. God is not opposed to you having a 90-inch TV. He is opposed to you having a 90-inch TV and you're not being obedient in what he's telling you to do with your money. He is opposed to that when you would rather have the 90-inch TV than give to, you know, some widows or orphans or help a missions project or a neighbor who is in need or something like that. Then there's an issue. When the greediness and the love of money and that kind of stuff, if that's what controls us, because, you know, if we are in the flow of what God wants us to do with our finances and we're giving away, we're, you know, it's like a, you know, I've used this before. It's like a, you know, we used to do our own oil changes and stuff like that. And you would put a funnel into the, you know, the place where the oil goes and you would pour, you know, the oil in. And that's the way that it is with our giving. We are to be, the ones who control that oil can, pouring the oil into the engine. Now, what's going to happen is that there is going to be oil that stays with that funnel. So it's not like, you know, we're pouring it in and it's all going to go out and we're not going to have any. Because God's going to, as we're sowing seed, God's going to keep giving because he knows that he can trust us and he's going to keep blessing us and what we have to work with is going to be even greater. But if we have character issues, if we're immature in our soul, then we're not going to do the things that God wants us to do and he can't trust us with what he wants to trust us with. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to guard our hearts, with, you know, above anything else that we do, because out of our hearts flow the issues of life. And what's sad is there are so many people that are walking around either immature in their heart, or their heart is broken, or scarred, or hurt, or bruised, and their heart and their life is affected by that. We need to understand that poverty springs from the heart. That's where the issue of poverty is at, is in our heart. And poverty is first in the heart, but then it's in the finances. You know, it's not the other way around, that I don't have enough money, and so that's put me into this place of having a poverty mentality. It's actually the here inside of me, and then it affects me outside. No matter how much money, I mean, we've all seen and heard the stories about people who win the lottery. Usually a person who wins the lottery is worse off in 5 years than what they were when they won the lottery. You know what the issue is? It wasn't the amount of money. The issue was their heart. And what they'll do is they will do poverty things, even with a lot of money, and they will screw up their life for the next 15, 20 years. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Proverbs 28, verses 19 and 20. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. The trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. A hard worker, that's somebody who is diligent, that they are disciplined in with their money, and they're, you know, they don't reward themselves, you know, to, you know, outside of what they should. You know, it's okay to receive a reward. It talks about there a trustworthy person is going to get a rich reward. You know, it's not going out and putting, you know, something huge on credit that we don't really need because we're trying to, you know, to reward ourselves. It's about doing, you know, due diligence with our work, with our finances, and doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then what happens is the reward comes with it. You know, so look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. It says, and this is the Message Bible, says, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. What is the purpose of money? The purpose of money is so that we can be generous, so that we can be a blessing to other people's lives, that we can care for somebody, that, you know, that we can look after them, we can sow into things. You know, our care for others is the measure of our greatness. You know, the people that we care for, the things that we work, you know, sow into and work into, those are the things, that's the measure of our greatness, is what we leave behind, the legacy that we leave behind, not the goals that we attain, but the legacy that we leave behind. You know, our we have great gain by giving, right? Isn't that where our gain comes from, is by giving? You know, it's like somebody, I was thinking about this, you know, like somebody like Dan. Dan does a lot of studying. He's got a great mind, but he also does a lot of studying. Now, Dan, that studying is of no value if he never shares that with anybody. You know, and there are some people that will do that. They spend all their time reading and studying and developing their mind. And what they do is they use it to lord over other people, and they look down their noses at them. Instead of taking what it is that they, you know, that they're acquiring basically and giving it away, then you know, they're not blessing anybody. So, you know, they die with a great mind. Who cares? You're going to stand in front of Jesus, who knows everything and, you know, created everything, and tell him how great you were in your studies? No, that's not the point. The point is that we give it away, and by giving it away, we have great gain. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. So if we're lusters, if we are ones who are always lusting after things, God doesn't give us seeds. He's not going to prosper us or give us more. And you know, it doesn't mean that we'll never get more. It just means that there's, you know, sometimes there's going to be a curse on the more that we get. You know, because we're doing it with the wrong attitudes, and the, you know, because there are a lot of people, you can look, you know, in the world, there are a lot of people that don't serve Jesus that have a lot of money. But many of them are miserable because there's a curse attached to what they have because they're not doing it for the kingdom of God and the expansion of his kingdom. Now, there's a difference that, you know, we have to understand the difference between love and lust, you know, true love. Love is the desire to benefit others at the expense of self. That's what true love is that we desire to benefit others at the expense of ourselves, because love desires to give. God so loved the world that he gave. And that if we're following after God, that's our heart, that there's going to be something that takes place on the inside of us, that we're no longer, you know, looking to, you know, to take from others, because that's what lust is. Lust desires to benefit self at the expense of others, that we're constantly, you know, we have this set of friends because of what they can do with us. You know, that's what happens in grade school and high school. You know, this group of people, you know, they can, you know, if I'm with them, then I'll be cool, or I'll, you know, people will know who I am, and that kind of stuff. And many times we do the same thing, that we are friends with a certain group of people because maybe, you know, they're the ones that you know, that get to get up in front of people and speak at the church, or, you know, they're the ones that are going to help me at work, and those kind of things. And we really, you know, we really are missing the heart of God in that. And love gives and lust takes. Love is easily satisfied, and lust is never satisfied. Lust has no limits and can find no end. It's constantly looking for more and more and more. But we have, you know, what we need to know is that love is the nature of heaven. God is love. And because love is the nature of heaven, it produces heaven on earth. When we're walking in love and we're taking these things that we have, these resources, and we're sowing them back in to make a difference in people's lives, whether it's helping Aaron Kreider with orphans in the Philippines or Nigeria, or whether we're, you know, helping Ron and Minnie out with what's going on in their lives, and you know, because I knew how to set up a podcast, I could go out there and teach them how to set up a podcast. You know, it took maybe 15, 20 minutes. There was a kid there who's extremely smart on how to do that thing, but there's something that I learned, and I gave it away, and I understand that when I give those kind of things away, I'm going to receive back in like kind. Whether, you know, and I don't know how it's going to happen. You know, I know, you know, for the probably, you know, first 10 years of our life, we gave a lot. You know, I counted one time, I think I gave away like 7 or 8 guitars. I still can't play guitar, so it doesn't come back to me, but you know what? I've got children who are extremely musical, and I believe that's because I've given music away. And so God has blessed me in another area of my life that still blesses and benefits my life, but it also blesses and benefits their lives. I'm watching them write songs and lead worship, you know, and all these kind of things now, or, you know, or be the one who sets up the sound system, and, you know, why? Because I sowed seed into that area, and God blesses me in that area. So no matter what it is that I have, if I'm giving it away, God's going to return it to me, and I'm going to be better off of it. But I'm not doing it. You know, I didn't give those guitars away because I wanted my children to know how to play music. I gave them away because God said something to my heart, and out of love that He placed in me, it's not me, you know, because that's not my natural nature. My natural nature would be to keep all those things and say, oh, look at this really cool thing that I have, even though I can't play it. What good is it to me? It's better for me to give it away. It's more profitable as seed than it is for me to try to keep it in a closet someplace. You understand what I'm saying? Now, our everything that we have and everything that God graces us with is important, and what we do with it. Sometimes, and knowing the difference between the two, knowing the difference between what is our harvest and what is our seed, that's important. You know, sometimes, you know, we're eating our seed, but other times, you know, we're giving away our harvest. It's important to know the difference between the two, because there is a seed time and a harvest. There is a difference between the two, and there are times where God wants to give you an harvest. He just wants you to enjoy it because He just wants to bless you. And you got to know the difference between those two. But anyway, you know, if we're living a life based on lust, what that's going to do is it's going to produce a life that's based on hell. It's going to have curse, and people will be miserable. You know, abundance is not a dollar amount or a number. Abundance is a place that we are to live, where we are in a place of abundance. It's not measured by what we have. It's measured by what we give away. Abundance is measured on what you give away. Abundance is an overflow. It's more than you need. It's what's going on into other people's lives. Jesus said that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that He came to give us a life of abundance. And that we would have enough to give away to others. He wants us to have an abundance of salvation, the fullness of God, so that we can give it away to others. He wants us to have a fullness or an abundance of love so that we can give it away to others. He wants us to have an abundance of finances so that we can give it away. See, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. Broke people can't help broke people. No matter what area it is, whether it's in relationships, if you're impoverished in relationships, you can't help somebody else have good relationships. There'll be no anointing on it, and it'll produce nothing. You know, in the area of marriage, you know, I remember it used to tickle me because there was this guy that had these amazing teachings on marriage and family and all this stuff, and he's never been married and has no kids. I'm thinking, just something wrong with that, you know? I really believe that those kind of things come from, you know, walking it out. And as we develop that, we grow in that area, it is more powerful, you know, when we give it away. See, so if you don't have money, you can't give it away. If you don't have a generous nature, then you're not going to be generous. God gives you. And money represents life. Think about it. When you go to work, you're giving your time, your talent, your education, you're giving your experience, and in return, what do you get? Money. If you want a better job, what's one of the things you need to do? Get more education. Prosper in that field. And what's going to happen is you're going to expand your capability for income in that area, right? How many young people do we see that go out and get a job at a fast food restaurant or a restaurant, stuff like that, and they're there for the rest of their lives doing the same exact thing? You know what the issue is? It's not that they don't have the capability or the potential to earn more. Many times it's because they got satisfied with what they had and they never got any more education and never grew or matured, and so they never see themselves doing anything else, and they never do anything else because they've never done anything to prosper in their soul. Casey, he's getting ready to, you haven't gone to warrant officer school yet, have you? Getting ready to go to warrant officer school. But to get ready to do what he's getting ready to do next in life, he has to get more education. You take classes, right? On your own, outside of work. Nobody at work told you had to take classes to do your job, did they? You could still be doing air traffic controlling at the current level of education that you were at, say, 3 years ago. Because they taught you everything you needed to do for that job. But he wanted to do something more. He wants to fly helicopters, right? He wants to fly helicopters. So he's educating himself. And now because he's educated himself, he's taken some tests. And they're going to educate him more so that he can do something else. And his earning potential is going to go rapidly increase, right? Because a warrant officer makes more than a staff sergeant, right? But didn't he have to do something? There's a praise break that just went on right back there. Do something, and now because he did something, somebody else is doing something for him. He sowed seed, and now he's got a harvest coming in. Those are the things that we need to understand and then impart that to other people. It's not bad to work at a fast food restaurant when somebody's in high school or graduated out of high school. But they shouldn't have to stay there for the rest of their life, unless, of course, they're becoming the manager and eventually the owner. You're going to have to prosper to become the owner, right? Learning all the different jobs, not just learning, your job, whether it's a busboy or a hostess or a server, learning everybody's job so you become more valuable to that boss and they can entrust you with more, right? It's the same thing with handling our money. We learn how to handle our money. We learn how to get out of debt, we apply discipline in doing that. And then, God gives us more to work with because we're being diligent and we're sowing and we're learning how to whether it's start a business or make investments and those kind of things so that we are able to give more back into the work of the kingdom because there's so much that God wants to do through us. I was thinking about it this morning as I stand here. I was like, I want to plant. It eats me alive to plant churches. Why? Because there are more people that we can reach with more places that people can go to. But you know what? One of the major resources you need in planting churches? Money. Because it takes money to buy sound equipment. It takes money to buy all those tubs that we have with all that stuff and that trailer out there. That costs money. We have to have resources to be able to do that. Here's one thing that I'm going to say publicly that we talk about in our meetings and stuff is that we're not going to just plant churches because I want to plant churches or because it's in my heart or it's our vision to plant churches. I've watched too many ministries shipwrecked over doing things out of vision. We're going to plant churches. You know what that means? That means we're going to have the people and the resources to do it before we do it. Like I said, I've watched too many ministries shipwreck because all they had was vision and they never put together and stockpiled the resources to be able to do it. We're going to have whether we're meeting here or we're meeting, we may have three services on a Sunday or whatever over a weekend in this place. You know why we would do that? Is one, we're training ministry teams, and two, we're building strength. Because not only are we building the strength or the commodity of people, but we're also going to be stockpiling the commodity of resources so that when we send a team out to maybe plant a church over off of Legion Road or on the north side of town or out in Rayford or over in, you know, well, Stedman, if anybody can be saved in Stedman, or wherever it is. That's why they come to Hope Mills. When we send a team out, we're not just going to send them out there with, yes, we're just going to believe God. We're going to send them with the stuff. We're going to send them with the stuff. They're going to have a trailer full of stuff if they need it, or we're going to help them find a building and, you know, help them have their own service for a while and accumulate, you know, their own resources so, you know, they'll be a church. Maybe they're meeting here on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, but we're earmarking that money and those finances so that when they go out, they're going out in strength. Because I believe that that's how God wants us to build, is by strength. And so each one of us, as we're giving, you know, on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or whatever, as we're giving, we're giving into something that's greater than ourselves. And in a couple weeks, I'll tell you that, you know, I'll talk to you about the different kinds of giving, because it's not all about giving just to the church, you know, and we need to know that. So, last thing I'll say is a generous Christian with a lot of money can really hurt the work of the devil and help the work of God. A Christian with a lot of money can really hurt the work of the devil and help the work of God. And that's what God's desire is for each and every one of us. So, Father, I thank you that we do have the ability to learn and to grow when it comes to dealing with our finances. And God, I would ask you to prosper our souls so that you can prosper our wallets.